Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 181. I think blue hair is pretty cool, actually.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, one of his favorite combos is vinegar and soy sauce, Pat Flynn.
Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. Indeed works fast, like really fast. In fact, by the time this ad's over, 23 hires will have been made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Look, hiring's hard enough, so don't make it harder on yourself. Indeed makes it so easy to manage it all in one place, from initial screenings to messagings, interviewing candidates. You can do it all right from Indeed with no extra apps involved. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now. Support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you spending your time with me and our special guest today, who has been highly requested. This is somebody who I got to know just because everybody was saying, do you know her? She's amazing. You should have her on your show. And, you know, when I hear that from a couple hundred people. I listen, and I actually had the pleasure of meeting Kimra at Social Media Day here in San Diego, and she is amazing. Not only is she incredibly smart, but she has a really, really cool transformation story, and she's a mother of three. She actually brought her baby, one of her littlest baby, to the conference, and I got to meet him. Super cute. And Kimra, a lot of people know her online. If you don't know who this is, you might have seen her with her blue hair. And she's just super cool, totally real, and I can't wait to share this with you. An incredible story with a lot of great actionable advice, too, from how she went pretty much from nothing to almost $1 million in sales within 12 months. It's just an incredible story. So let's just dive right in. This is Kimra Luna from KimraLuna.com. That's KimraLuna. Here we go. What's up, everybody? Paflin here, and I'm here with Kimra Luna from KimraLuna.com, self-named freedom hacker. And she's awesome, and she's been, like, everybody's talking about her these days, and I cannot wait to get into her story and have you just be inspired, but also get a ton of great advice from what she's been doing, because in a very short period of time, she's become very successful. So Kimra, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me, Pat.
So tell me, how did you get into what you do? So, you know, I think the first thing that people will see when they see your face, because the show notes, you'll see you have blue hair. I think that's the first thing everybody mentions. And then you're usually, even at conferences, you have like your kids with you, or at least one of them. And it's just like, wow, this is this really interesting girl, and she's crushing it in her business. Like, how did you tell us your story?
So I actually got into this kind of by sheer boredom. My husband and I, we were on welfare for about 4 years with my two kids, and it sucked. We were living with our in-laws. And when my husband finally got a solid job working for FedEx, we ended up moving across the country away from our family. So we were in California. We ended up moving to Virginia for my husband to find a job. But it was basically like the only way we could get off of welfare. So we took the risk. We did that. And when I moved to Virginia, no friends and family, I decided, hey, I would like to be a blogger. I had an iPhone and I followed lots of, you know, food blogs and that type of thing on my phone. And I was like, I think I'm going to do that. I'm just going to become like a blogger. And so we got our tax return, our refund came back. And I asked my husband, I said, well, how about let's buy an iMac with the refund? And he was like, okay, so we spent all that money on an iMac, and I didn't even know how to use a Mac computer. I'd, you know, only used PCs my whole life, so it was like a whole new adventure for me. And I started blogging, so I researched like how to start a blog. And actually, you were one of the first people I found when I started researching that.
Oh, nice.
Yes, so I've been following you since basically day one, and I started to, you know, go like, all right, well, I think I'm going to write about, you know, health and wellness stuff and things like that. But I wanted to also make money, and I happened to come across a network marketing company, and they were selling like organic health products. So I was like, okay, well, I can blog and grow up a blog audience, and then I can sell these products to people who follow me on my blog, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Figured it would work, and it did pretty well. I was able to grow a team very, very quickly in that company, and I was probably in the company for maybe 3-4 months when the actual corporate team asked me to do trainings for their team, because they wanted to know, what are you doing? How are you recruiting people into this? And so I was like, well, I'm like blogging and using Pinterest. And then they were just like, oh, well, we don't want you to teach that. They wanted me to teach other things. So I went along with it, and I primarily taught, you know, more mindset type stuff. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the stuff that I really wanted to teach.
The success you had there wasn't normal in that company.
No, it was very unique. However, the company I was with had a really, really crappy compensation plan. So I didn't make very much money doing it. So I was kind of working my butt off for like not very much money.
Right. And they didn't seem like they knew what they were doing. If they were like, hey, teach everybody how to do what you do, but don't actually teach them what you do.
Yeah. And it's pretty common in that industry. They really want you to teach like how to prospect and do cold calls. And I'm
old
cold
school.
Calls. Like, I never did that. I actually built my entire business primarily by my personal Facebook page, I would go in groups and talk to people. Mm-hmm. That was how I built it. And they didn't want me to teach those sorts of things. So I was just like, after a while, I just started getting really burnt out by that. And I was still consistently blogging. I still loved, you know, health and wellness and stuff. And that was like easy for me. I had like 250 blog posts in a year's time. So I totally loved it. And, and it was just a huge passion of mine to write about that stuff. But I got burnt out because I wasn't making money. And I had seen everybody like you, Pat, and all these other people sharing examples of like, you know, this is how you grow your email list and this is how you do, you know, all these things. And then you could sell things to them. And I was already in love with training because I was doing it at a corporate level with the company. And I was like, you know what? Like, I like training. I love teaching. It was like when I got on a Google Hangout to teach people, I was like, that was my jam, you know? So I decided to scrap that blog and start my own business now, KimberLuna.com, just from scratch.
And what do you teach at KimberLuna.com?
I primarily teach branding and social media strategies. I do teach a lot of things like with launching and just building an online business that you're passionate about and really care about. That's primarily what I teach.
And so you started this new kind of venture and you've had some experience doing this and you're teaching the corporate level and now you're kind of doing it online and following footsteps of other people who are building brands and you're teaching people how to do that as well. What was that like at first? Like, what were your first steps kind of going into that realm?
Yeah. Well, my first steps, of course, was like building a solid website and I needed to have something to sell to people. So I had, what I had did when I first started is I was following Social Media Examiner. I read every single one of their emails and they send out like the yearly email where they kind of survey their whole audience and they send that out. And so I was like, well, this audience is going to kind of be my audience, right? So I should read this thing. So I read the whole thing and then it was like the second page from the bottom. And this was like a 45 page thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like the second page from the bottom. And it said that, you know, online entrepreneurs really want to learn how to create better graphics for their social media posts. Well, I was very, very skilled at PicMonkey. I had spent my whole year blogging using PicMonkey for all my graphics, and most of my graphics had thousands of repins. So I was like, okay, I must make pretty decent graphics, right? Like I should be able to teach that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even teach it as like a course. I was just like, that's going to be my first webinar presentation. Like that's what I'm going to do to start to grow my list. And it was just kind of like this big aha moment that happened reading the Social Media Examiner report. And my husband was just like, all right, go for it, dude. You know, so it took me a few months. I finally got my website up. There wasn't any photographers in my area because I lived in like the middle of nowhere in Virginia. Mm-hmm. So we actually bought like a Canon camera and my husband like took pictures of me. He took like 1,000 pictures of me and like two of them were even good enough to be on my website.
That's how it always is. Right?
But it was all right. I was doing it, DIYing it. It didn't need to be perfect. So I just got it up there. I used, you know, a StudioPress theme because I figured, hey, that's kind of the easiest thing to do. I got it up there. I put up a few blog posts, made a few YouTube videos, you know, and then I was like, all right, I'm launching my brand. Okay, well, there's no people.
Right.
So I was like, all right, well, I want to do this webinar. I want to teach people how to use PicMonkey. I am going to do Facebook ads. And I had never done them before, but I had watched tons of webinars on how to do them. So I figured, hey, you know, I would just dive in here. And I was like, the number one thing I had heard from everybody was like, you need a split test. So I was like, all right. So I figured out, you know, kind of who my ideal audience would be on Facebook. And my first ad, I split tested it to 18 different target audiences. And some people might think that's crazy, but I did it. And then at that point, I was able to really figure out within like a week, I was able to figure out like what places were bad, what places were good to market to. Mm-hmm. And it was a really big learning experience, but it was fun. So
it is fun. I know a lot of people get obsessed with Facebook ads, actually. When you were first starting out and doing that, who were you learning from? You said you were watching all these webinars. Who was kind of teaching you virtually at that point?
Like Rick Mulready, James Wedmore. I've been in James Wedmore's Real Marketing Insiders for like probably almost 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And he actually does a lot of updates, because he's kind of a Facebook ads like nerd. Like, he loves Facebook ads. And so he's always testing and tweaking and all this stuff. And so I did learn a lot from James. I learned a lot from Amy Porterfield's blog. And so I just kind of learned from a lot of people. And I watched everybody's stuff. I was just like, I am going to be, I needed to learn it. You know, I it was something that I was like, I need to learn this.
Right. You didn't have an audience. So, how else could you get one faster instead of the path you took last time, which was like blogging and which takes a long time to get an audience in just kind of an organic way.
Yeah, I was like, I can't rely on, you know, the SEO. And plus, because it is a very crowded space, online marketing, it's very crowded. In order to stand out, I was like, hey, if I'm on Facebook ads and people are seeing my face and they're seeing my videos and they're seeing I'm having something free, you know, maybe that's going to attract people. And so I did these webinars. I wasn't even pitching anything on the webinar except for people to join my Facebook group. And so I was like, join my Facebook group, share, you know, who I am, like, go check me out. That was like all I was pitching. I wasn't even like, hey, buy this, buy that. And the first PicMonkey webinar did so great that the next week I did an encore one, but I had to do two encore ones because so many people wanted the content. And so
wow,
I think
who knew?
List,
I mean,
and I had like 1,000 people on my list in like the first 2 weeks from Facebook ads. And I think I spent about $350, $400.
Not much at all.
Yeah, it was very, very great. And I mean, it was a risk because I wasn't selling anything. But like I said, I knew from just everything that I had read online, it was you have to have people or you can't sell anything.
Right. Okay. So from there, you do these webinars, they're great. You're building this list and, you know, you have this Facebook group, but you're still not selling anything. I'm trying to figure out then what are your next steps from there? You've already given them the content that they wanted. How do you figure out what else to give them?
Yeah. So what happened was people began emailing me, asking me if I would teach them these technical things that I was teaching on my webinars, but privately. So I was like, okay, I can do that. And I put up a little sales page on my site that was like, hey, I will, you know, 12 weeks of tech coaching, basically. I was showing them how to do Google Hangouts and how to tweak things on their site and all these kind of techie things they needed to know for their business. I'll coach you on this for 12 weeks for $2,000. And I didn't think anybody was going to take me up on it, but I got 3 people the first day. And then a few days later, I got a few more people. So I made about $10,000 in my first 6 weeks of having my business by doing coaching.
That's awesome. What was that like for you? Because this is totally different than anything else you'd ever done before.
Yeah, it was very shocking. I had done some coaching to an extent when I was in the network marketing company, because typically when somebody joined your team in a company like that, you actually have to coach them and train them how to use tools and that sort of stuff. So I was already pretty well rounded with that, but it was a whole different world. And I wasn't even expecting to do that. I was just like, oh, I'm going to be one of those people that just sells digital stuff, right? And I wasn't expecting to do one-on-one coaching. And I don't think that I am necessarily like this most amazing coach or anything like that, but I can teach the things I know. And so that's all I focused on, was like, I know this, so I can teach it. And that was actually having those first clients was actually what gave me the idea of building my Be True Brand You program, which is now my signature program.
And then going back to the price point, actually, where did you pick 2,000 from, or was this kind of just a random number?
Out of the air. I was just like, maybe some people will pay me that. Like, I hope so. Like, you know, like, just crossed my fingers. And I was in, you know, several, you know, other groups with lots of other entrepreneurs. And so I kind of just looked at their prices and was like, oh, I'll be a little bit lower than theirs because I'm still new, you know, like, and it was just total just guessing. And people ask me all the time, like, about pricing. I'm just like, literally, I'm not the best person to ask because I just guess. And then over time, because even with my signature program, Be True Brand You, when I first launched it, it was $1,200. But my students in the program told me that my price point was too low. And so then I was like, okay, I'll raise the price for the next launch. But yeah, so it was a learning. Pricing has been a learning experience for me, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's still for me too. And we've had Ramit Sethi on the show before a lot to talk about pricing. And, you know, when you get to that point, it's difficult because that's going to decide a lot of things that are going to happen for you and your business and your website and how much people are paying and kind of how that anchors you against everything else. Okay, so you're doing these consultings, like, were you, or how long were you doing that for until you decided to kind of create your flagship program?
I was doing it for after about 4 or 5 weeks. Then I was like, okay, I need to put together like something big. Like, and a lot of people are like, no, you need to like niche down and like just teach on like one thing and all that sort of stuff. And I was just like, yeah, forget that crap. I just want to build like a big, huge program that can be like a one-stop shop, because there's like no one-stop shop programs. And so I was like, that's what my quote unquote unique selling proposition was going to be. Like, it's like, this is a one-stop shop. And a lot of my students still tell me to this day, it's a one-stop shop. They'll be like, I'll see this other, you know, this other shiny object of some other course. And then I'm like, oh wait, Kim already teaches me that in the course, mm-hmm. in the course I already have. And so then they're like, oh yeah, I don't need to buy that. I just need to go and log in to my Be True Brand new program, and it's already there. So I wanted to make a one-stop shop, and so I just went for it, and I made a sales page, and I hadn't even created any of the content, because I had learned from Ramit Sethi, you need to test it first, mm-hmm. right? So I was like, all right, I'm going to test it. And so I made this sales page. It took me like 4 days to put together this theme that I bought, which everybody was like, oh my gosh, it was amazing. To this day, I still think it was hideous, but everybody was like complimenting it. And I was like,
what
oh
about
gosh,
it were they complimenting?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I still to this day, I'm like, why did they like this? They were like, your sales page is so good. I'm like, okay.
And
like,
you still have this up?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's obliterated off the internet, but it was so ugly. But anyways, everybody else liked it. And it got to the point, I guess. And, so I got this sales page up, and I told my community, cause I was already growing this Facebook group, and I was doing webinars every Saturday because my husband, you know, had still been working a job. And so Saturdays were the best days for me to do webinars. And I would do it always on topics they wanted to learn about. I would just let them vote, basically, like, vote, what do you want to learn about? And they would vote. And so I would do the webinar like that weekend, like on what they voted on.
Would they ever vote on something that you didn't really understand fully yet?
Yes, there was some things they did, and then I would go and find a guest person to train on it.
Oh, that's smart.
So I was just like, well, I'm not like super well-rounded in that, so I'll bring a guest trainer in. And I still do that to this day. Like, I still bring guest trainers onto webinars all the time just to give extra value to my audience, because I'm like, well, I'm not the number one expert on that, but hey, this person is, like, I'll share them with my audience. How do you
pitch that to your guests? I'm interested, because I think a lot of people could benefit from a strategy like that, where they feel like they know a little bit about something but could use a little bit more info. You could find somebody else to fill in that hole for you and get that in front of your audience. I love this idea, but how do you pitch somebody like that? Do you go through your network to find people, or have you ever pitched anybody cold to come on and provide value to your audience?
It's mostly been people that I've seen like in Facebook groups and stuff. Cause I spent a lot of time in Facebook groups primarily just to like learn the online world. And so I would like go in there and be like, oh, well, this person seems like they're an expert in that. And then I would just Facebook message them and be like, oh, hey, like, how well-rounded are you in this? Like, what results have you had on this topic? And then if they seem like a good fit, I would ask them, be like, hey, can we kind of do like a chat, like on a Google Hangout for my audience? So, you know, it'll show you as an expert, and we can just do like a chat. And they're usually almost every single person had said yes. I've never had one person say no.
Do you pay them?
There have been a few of them who I've done affiliates with.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, well, can I promote, you know, like my little course I have or something? And I'll be like, yeah, sure. So some of them have done that. And then other ones have just completely volunteered and just really just wanted to be able to give my audience value to get in front of my people.
That's so, very cool. Tell me about your program. So your program, every Saturday you were doing these or still doing these webinars for the people who are in your course, in your membership site. What else do they get when they get in there? I'm trying to kind of feel around for what's exactly inside.
Yeah. So once people are inside my membership site, I have several courses. It's basically like a bunch of courses inside of one big giant course. Hmm. And so it goes through like branding. Then it goes through like knowing who your ideal customer is. And it goes through email marketing, and it goes into actually putting a website together. Like, I literally show, because I teach technical aspects. Like, a lot of people have programs where they don't teach the technical things. I actually do. I'm like, here, this is how you set up your StudioPress website. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the importance of photo shoots and all those sorts of things. So we lay the foundations of stuff. Then we get into more in-depth things like actually putting a course together. And and actually selling the course and how to launch and how to do webinars. And so it kind of goes from beginner and then goes to like how to actually launch something out into the world. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty extensive. And then I do bring in like special guests and things like that. And I still do that even. So some things I have for my full community, Freedom Hackers, then I have some where it's exclusive to just my Be True Brand U students.
Mm. Very nice. So you're very proficient in webinars, it seems, and it's kind of been your bread and butter kind of ever since you started kind of getting online in this space. What are some tips you have for people who are getting into webinars, or maybe they're doing webinars already, but they're not really getting the results? I think, so let's start from the beginning. Let's focus on webinars for a little bit. So for the people out there who know that webinars work, and we all know it works, and we've heard people come on the show before, John Lee Dumas does very well with them. We've talked with Lewis Howes before as well. We know they work, but yet some people still don't do them. Cameron, what is your pitch to this person who is kind of on the fence of whether or not they should start a webinar?
Well, my pitch would be, if you want to be seen as an expert, do a webinar. It's the fastest way for people to be like, wow, this person really knows what they're talking about. And I think it's the reason why my brand was able to be elevated so quickly was because people immediately saw me as an expert. I didn't have to. It was like they saw the content that I was giving, mm-hmm. and they were just like, wow, she knows what she's doing. And it's a really great way to build brand authority very quickly. And of course, it does convert to sales. You know, I'm evidence of that, and a lot of other people are evidence of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is a great way, whether you are just providing services or you sell digital things or even physical things. I've seen people do them in every single type of business there is. And sometimes they don't call them webinars. Sometimes they call it, you know, like an online class, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. it just depends on the verbiage you need to use. But I've seen people sell every single thing you can possibly think of on a webinar. And when I first started, I didn't even have a service to offer people. And I ended up having a service because I was doing webinars. So, yeah.
And it's also, I love it as well, because it's a quick way to not only build authority and, you know, potentially sell something, like you said, but you're also building your list at the same time.
And the cool thing
is, like, even if people don't necessarily attend, you've gotten to know that they're at least interested somewhat in what you have to offer, and you can follow up with them later and start that whole funnel process. So, okay. So, Kimra, I'm convinced. Where do I start?
So where to start with webinars is, you know, first, you do have to know what you're actually going to teach and who you're going to teach to. You definitely have to have pretty solid idea of that. Mm-hmm. And then you got to know where they're at, you know, where are they hanging out online, so that you can actually get a webinar and actually promote it, because you got to get people on. And some people, they're kind of afraid, like, oh my gosh, only like 20 people sign up for my webinar. And honestly, you can still convert a lot of people to a sale when there's only 20 people on, because it's a more intimate experience. Mm-hmm. And I think people, they forget that it's kind of like you're just chatting with people. Like, my webinars are usually pretty relaxed, on the relaxed side of things. And I think that has actually helped me, because when I first started, I mean, at first, of course, I was terrified of doing them. But as I've done them more, it's just, you just get this kind of vibe, and it makes it easier to connect and communicate and engage with people. And, you know, just to get started, it's like, you got to know what you want to teach, and then find where those people are and promote your actual webinar.
Mm-hmm. And then you had said earlier, you got to find out where your people are at. Well, how do you do that specifically?
Just stalk around online is really what I did. I just searched everywhere, high and low, like, where are these people? What groups are they hanging out in? Because, yeah, when I first started, I was doing Facebook ads, but I would also, like, if somebody was like asking a question in a group about the topic I had a webinar on that week, I would say, hey, like, I would answer their question a little bit. Then I'd say, hey, if you want to go even deeper, I have a webinar this Saturday. Here's my link. And then people would sign up that way also. So I did do, you know, a little bit of networking and hustling to get people on. But, you know, it was really just, I had to find where those people were so that I could even do that to begin with.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when I got started with the Lead Exam website, I don't talk about this so much, but I was a pretty big authority in a forum that was in the architecture industry, where a lot of people knew who I was. I kept responding to as many questions as I could. And that's how I built authority there. And then when I started to sell stuff on my website, it was just very easy. And then actually, a lot of people were like, oh, you got to check out Pat's guide. It's here. And they were mentioning that in the threads, and they were always being bumped up to the top of the thread list in the forum because they were the most helpful, and so on and so forth. So yeah,
it just takes some hunting. And you know, I think a lot of people feel like, especially for this step, they want just like that one website and that one query they could type in that gives them all the answers. But it's not like that.
No, it's not like that at all, you know, and it's really important to interview people who are your ideal customers and ask them where they hang out at. And a lot of people, they're kind of too afraid to do that. And I actually have that as one of my challenges in my Be True Brand You program. And I give out prizes for people who complete the challenges. And one of the challenges is to actually get on the phone or Skype with five people who are their ideal customers and ask them questions, ask them their struggles, ask them what they want to learn. Because knowing all those things is really like the foundation of having a brand, because your brand is to solve people's problems. And if you don't know what their problems are and you don't know where they're even at, how are you going to get in front of them to solve their problems?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Let's keep going with webinars. So technically, how do I set one up? How do you set them up? Because there's a lot of different ways to do it, obviously.
Yes, there's a lot of different ways. There's a ton of different platforms out there. My preferred platform is EasyWebinar. Webinar Jam is also great if you're a person that doesn't use a WordPress site. Like if you use Squarespace, I would recommend using Webinar Jam. But they run on Google Hangouts, and Google Hangouts basically, it puts the Google Hangout like inside your website. It has chat box. Easy Webinar keeps all your stats for you, so you know like if people are like dropping off the webinar, how long they're staying on, how many people show up. And so that's why I prefer to actually use a webinar platform, is so that I can actually have some of those stats available to me. Mm-hmm. Because that's important too. You know, if you're getting 1,000 people signed up for your webinar, but only 100 people showed up, there's something wrong there. You know, you needed to make sure you were giving them enough reminders, and you need to make sure you were doing something, some sort of incentive to actually get them on, or maybe those people weren't actually that interested in your topic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of different variables. So that's why I recommend using Easy Webinar. It runs with Google Hangouts. It's very, very easy to learn to use a Google Hangout. And it's fun too. I love the Google Hangout type of style where it, you know, I can show my face and show who I am, and then I can hop on and go to some slides for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I can check the chat box. And then sometimes even just like halfway through my presentation, I'd be like, hey, like I want to make sure that you guys understand this information. And I hop onto my chat box and, you know, like what questions you guys have before we move on to the next step. And I think people get more value that way rather than me just keep going and going and trudging along the, mm-hmm. the training, taking a little bit of breaks here and there to make sure they clearly grasp what I'm teaching.
So they're very interactive for you.
Yes, my and that's the thing I like about using you know, Easy Webinar is the chat box is right there and they can interact with each other. I can interact with them. My team also gets on there and they'll answer people's questions in there, so I'm not having to answer so many questions because my webinars are pretty packed. I mean, it's pretty rare that I have less than 1,000 people on a webinar. So they're usually pretty packed, pretty high paced. And so when people are in the chat box, you know, that really gives me more time to give them more value.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Because I know with GoToWebinar, which has kind of been the software of people who do this kind of stuff for so long, to hear that there's these new platforms coming out that kind of lay on top of Google Hangouts. And Google Hangouts is, of course, free, and you could do that on your own, but it's a little bit technical, and it doesn't come with all those analytics and registration processes aren't automated, or reminders aren't automated as well, like these things can do. But to hear that you're having over 1,000 people on is very, very impressive. How are you marketing your webinars?
I primarily market through Facebook ads. I usually do, like during my launch in February, I made sure that I retargeted to people who have been to my website.
Can you explain what that is for people who don't know?
Yeah, so retargeting is basically on Facebook, you can grab this thing, it's called a pixel, which is basically a little line of code that you put inside of your website, and it'll track people who go to your website. And then that way you can place an ad to the people who landed on your website. And so it's a little bit advanced strategy for mm-hmm. some people, but it's something that I have used, and I had that pixel on my site from like day one, because I was like, I want to make sure I can always retarget these people, because I had just learned all that sort of stuff from like all the Facebook marketers there they all talked about retargeting.
And is it that powerful? Because I haven't explored it myself yet either.
Yes. So I can tell a little bit of pretty amazing results that I had with my previous launch. I had retargeted to my sales page, my particular sales page, which is betruebrandyou.com. During my launch, it's like just for during my launch. Like it's not even like up the rest of the time. It's just for my launch. Mm-hmm. And so I had my pixels on there, and I was retargeting people who had landed on my sales page, and I got 80 conversions from that. And the highest price conversion was $5. My program is a $2,000 program. So to get $5 conversion rate, they signed up. It cost me $5 to get the person to sign up.
Uh-huh.
And I made $2,000.
Wow.
So you need
like one out of every 400 people to sign up, which is a very small percentage, not even a percent.
It was really incredible.
That's the one thing about Facebook ads, and then I keep hearing about this retargeting thing now, is that you can get it to a point, especially with the retargeting, because people have obviously come to your site at some point and then left, but you can bring them back, and they just might need that reminder or that ad to pop up. I know a lot of people who also do it a second retargeting pixel on the purchase page. So they go to your sales page, they purchase, or they click the buy now button, and then they don't fill out their form for whatever reason. You can just send them an ad that says, hey, are you okay? I just want to make sure you got everything you need. Just, you can pick up where you left off, click here. I mean, there's so many incredible ninja style strategies that you can use. But, you know, I know from talking to a lot of people in this space, is you're essentially getting to a point where you're trading dimes for quarters, or probably even more real, like you're trading a dime for a dollar.
Yeah.
And that's insane to me.
Yeah, and that's why I pretty much have a love affair with Facebook ads. and it's funny because during my launch, my husband actually primarily runs my ads during my launch time. Usually the rest of the time I like to do them just because, to me, they're just fun. I love to see the results, I guess. It's like quick results. Yay!
Makes you so excited. So he's not at FedEx anymore.
No, I retired him from FedEx shortly after I made that 10K in my first 6 weeks. I was like, I think it might be time for you to quit your job, because I was like making more money than him. So he gladly left his job and was super excited to be able to help me with my business. And he's been helping me ever since. He's the CFO of my business. He does make sure, you know, I have my money to actually place my ads and have my money to, you know, do any sort of branding things or redo my website or, you know, have my VAs and stuff like that. So he's that's his primary job, which is really, really, really important.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, you've obviously become very successful, and congratulations to you and all the success. And, you know, not only that, but I've when I've seen you in person at conferences and whatnot, you just have this energy around you, you know. And I think beyond kind of what you teach and how you teach it, you know, all the technical stuff, that's awesome that you teach that. And I know a lot of people who don't get into details with those types of things. But beyond that, I think another unique thing about you is just kind of your personality and how you're kind of not afraid to just be you. And I think that's something that a lot of people need to hear, because a lot of people are so often trying to be like somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things, like when I was first, even when I was back in my network marketing company, I was actually told to not look the way I look.
Wow.
And to like cover up my tattoos and, you know, not dye my hair and, you know, just things like that. And it was just like, what? It was just so bizarre to me to have somebody tell me those things. And they were like, well, people aren't going to take you seriously. And so it was a real concern of mine. You know, I wanted people to take me seriously.
Of course.
And so I was like, you know what, as long as I'm just being myself and I'm showing how passionate I really am about teaching people, and I really want to give people massive amounts of value, I really want to help people have results, they're going to take me seriously. And I was right. You know, I'm glad I didn't listen to people. I'm glad that I, you know, stayed true to who I am. I mean, I'm the chick that had like a mohawk when I was like 15 years old, you know, like. This is just who I am, and I can't change that. It's just me, you know? And I think I really don't think my business would have been the same if I was trying to be all, you know, plain vanilla.
Right. And tell me a little bit about work-life balance for you, because I know you're a mother and, you know, I've met one of your babies, super cute and really quiet, actually. I was a little jealous. I was like, how is your baby just quiet the whole time? Because my son, we couldn't take him anywhere for like the first year. Anyway, I'm just getting off track here. But tell me about what it's been like. You know, so when you started your business versus where you're at now in terms of work-life balance and what you've learned.
Yeah, when I first started, I mean, I kind of had a complete obsession with online marketing. I was listening to like podcasts like for like 10 hours a day. Like it was ridiculous, right? Like years back of people's podcast interviews. And, you know, it was kind of weird in the beginning because I would get like this like mommy guilt. Like I wasn't spending enough time with the kids or, you know, I should be doing this thing. Instead, I'm, you know, watching a webinar, you know, and it's one of those things where I literally just had to get over it. I had to just tell myself, you know what, I am doing this for my kids. Mm-hmm. And when they're teenagers, they're not going to be mad at me for watching a webinar. You know, they're not going to be mad at me for, you know, watching some sort of training or something that's going to help me build my business. They're not going to be mad at me for taking time out to spend time with a client. And so it was something I really had to get over in the beginning. I mean, it was tough. I mean, I cried about it a lot of times where I was like, am I being a bad mom? You know, but then once I was able to retire my husband and he was home full time, it made it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And we were able to, you know, tag team with the kids,
right,
and that type of thing. And now I actually have a full-time nanny who works 40 hours a week for me at my home. She's taking care of the baby right now. And, you know, it took a little bit to kind of figure it out, but it's been worth it. You know, it's mm-hmm. been totally worth it to be able to be at home with our kids. You know, we're able to drop them off at school and pick them up, and we're able to do the things that we love to do with them. You know, we can just take a day off in the middle of the week and go to a movie rather than waiting to the weekend when it's all crowded and, right, and things like that, you know? And so it's just those simple things that make it so worth it. And, you know, there definitely has to be a balance. I do have to, you know, pause and like get off the computer and leave my phone behind, you know, while I go in the other room and play with the kids. But I'm pretty mindful of it. You know, my older boys, they always need to have some mommy time. They are more daddy's boys. So sometimes a little bit jealous of my husband because they want to just like wrestle with him like all day. But they come to me and they love to cuddle and read books with me and that sort of stuff.
That's awesome.
And you know, it's different. And I have to, you know, remember, like, we are a different type of generation. You know, before it was just like, oh, you're the mom and you just stay at home and take care of kids. And that's like all you do with your life. I just had to remember that my kids, I want to be an example to them that they can pursue their dreams, that they can do the things they want to do, that they can just be themselves. And, you know, this is who I am. I love the hustle. You know, I was booking concerts when I was like 18 years old, didn't know what I was doing. I just did it because I was like, this is what I want to do and I'm just going to do it. And, you know, it was like, I want to be able to be an example of that to them. And so I figured, hey, just go for it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for being honest and sharing all that with us. The last thing I want to mention and have you comment on is, you know, ever since getting to know you online, I've also gotten to know your followers, and they are some of the most raving fans I've seen, like almost as awesome as all the SPI fans. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. And I know a lot of them actually overlap too, but how do you keep your fans happy? What is it about you and your program that just create these the fanatics of yours?
Well, I think it's because I don't sugarcoat things. I tell it like it is. And I teach what I know, you know, and I'm not afraid to hold back. One of the things that made me very nervous in the beginning of my business was sharing like strategies and like sharing like, you know, how much money I spent on Facebook ads and things like that, because I thought that, well, maybe people might think that that's like too much. But it turns out that's what people loved. That's like what people want when they're asking me questions. They're like, Kimra, how much did you spend on that particular ad? How many people actually converted? How much money did you make? They wanted to know the exact specifics. And so I had to really open myself up and be like, all right, that's what they want. I'm going to give it to them. And I've done a few webinars like after my launches where I've broke down, you know, every single bit and piece of how much I spent on every single thing for my launches, from how much I paid, you know, my VAs and, you know, freelancers and everything. And I think because I tell them exactly, it makes it more realistic to them. Right. And I think that's, I mean, it's the same with your audience, Pat. People like that it's broken down like that. And I don't do mine as specific as you do, but people really do love that I'm showing really what I do.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, my audience has told me that because I share everything, that's one of the number one reasons why they follow me. And also, I'm just authentic. I'm myself. You know, just me and just sharing what I know. And it sounds like you're doing the exact same thing.
Exactly. You're a prime example, Pat.
Thank you. You had mentioned before we got on the call that you had some new thing that was coming out. I wanted to give you a couple moments to talk about that real quick.
Yeah, I do have a webinar course coming out because apparently I love webinars, right? That's kind of my thing. It's my jam. Webinars are my jam. And I have a webinar course coming out that's going to teach basically everything that I know about webinars, how I started with webinars, and how to build up a community of raving fans using webinars. It's honestly like the biggest passion of mine is teaching people how to get out there and build authority and be able to teach, you know, teaching is something I feel like I'm just born to do. And so I'm putting together this program, and you can find it on my website, KimraLuna.com. There'll be a sales page and everything there. And it's going to be, it's really, I'm just so excited for it. I already have tons of people waiting for this to come out. And I'm super excited to be able to share it with everybody.
Awesome. Thanks. We're looking forward to it. Hey, Kimra, where can people find out more about you besides KimraLuna.com? Do you have a Twitter, Instagram, or other?
Yes, everything. Twitter, Periscope, YouTube, everywhere. I'm Kimra Luna on every
single platform.
That's nice.
That's real nice, actually, that you have that name because nobody else does.
Yes, it's a unique name, and so I'm very happy. I told my mom that she did not know it, but my name turned out to be a pretty good brand name. So.
Yeah. I mean, so there are 24,900 results in Google right now. Let me type in Pat Flynn really quick. So it's 25,000. Pat Flynn, 11,200,000 results.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Yeah. And I bet you all those ones with Kimra Luna, it's all about me.
Probably. So, I mean, I guarantee the 11 million are not all about me. There's like a country singer. There's a rapper in Ireland.
There's a rapper in Ireland.
Oh yeah,
name?
And don't like the lyrics. Don't share them with your kids. So that's what I have to compete with. But anyway, Kimra, thank you so much for coming on today and being inspirational, sharing tips and strategies. We look forward to seeing more of you. Congratulations on your Business Insider feature the other day. We'll link to that in the show notes as well. And you know, we'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Yes, definitely.
All right, take care.
Thanks, bye.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Kimra Luna. Isn't she amazing? I mean, man, I'm super inspired right now, especially when it comes to doing these webinars, which everybody always talks about. John Lee Dumas does them. Kimra's done them. That's been her bread and butter. And actually, she's coming out with a course, like she said. So if you want to check out her Rocket with Webinars course, you can go to smartpassiveincome.com/Kimra and get more information about that. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/Kimra. That's smartpassiveincome.com/Kimra, KIMRA. And you know, I'm going to be adding some webinars to my arsenal as well, because I have certain books and courses coming out in the near future too. And I'll definitely be taking some lessons from Kimra along the way. So again, you can get the show notes for this episode, everything mentioned and linked to conveniently over at smartpassiveincome.com/session181. Guys, I've really been enjoying this podcast, and I will continue to do it in the future for you. I know a lot of you have taken the information that I've shared here, the interviews that we've done with other experts and other people, and have actually taken action with it. And I just love you for that. I'm so thankful that I have an audience who is actually not just learning, but learning and putting things into place to make change in their lives and the lives of others too. I mean, we're all here to serve other people, I hope. But I know a lot of you also need a little bit more help. I've been getting messages left and right from people who have been asking for more and deeper information about certain things. So what I've done is that I've actually put together a number of courses, and there's more courses coming in the future, thanks to your recommendations. If you go to smartpassiveincome.com/courses, you'll see a list of the courses that are currently available there or that you can sign up for the waitlist for. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/courses. Check it out. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I appreciate you and your time and attention as always. And I really, really look forward to sharing next week's episode with you, where I bring on a person who is in one of my mastermind groups, who's been doing something for over 20 years. And he's going to teach us how to do that even better, because we do it every day in our businesses, in our blog posts, in our sales pages, in our podcast episodes. And so that's all I'm going to say. And I look forward to sharing that with you next week. Until then, keep crushing it. Love you guys, and keep on pushing yourselves beyond the limits that you think you know, because there are so many amazing things out there just beyond that reach that you think you have. Stretch a little bit higher, reach a little bit further. You got this. See you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey there, and thanks for sticking around to the end. If you're looking for more great shows like this one, definitely give How Success Happens a listen. Another great show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On How Success Happens, Robert Tuchman features some of today's brightest entrepreneurial minds talking about overcoming challenges and viewing them as learning experiences to create success. The challenges that entrepreneurs face are ultimately what make many of us successful, however we define success, and that's what the show is all about. There's lots of names you'll surely recognize on the show every single week. Just recently, Robert had Nasty Gal CEO Sophia Amoruso on the show, and the former CEO of Snapple the week before that, which is really awesome. So listen to How Success Happens right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.